ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः हरिः ॐ ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट् अस् बोत् मे ब्रह्मन् bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. So last week we had discussed about the scriptures, Hindu scriptures. And we also mentioned that there are two types of scriptures. The first primary is called Shruti and the secondary is called Smriti. More or less, we covered the main divisions of all the scriptures. Now, the point we have to discuss is that what do these scriptures want to tell us? And why do we need these scriptures? So, that is the elaboration which I would like to deal in this and probably in the future classes too. The first thing that we have to understand is, what is a scripture? Ajnata Jnapakam Shastram. That is to say, that which we do not know, the scripture tells us. Now, what is so surprising about this is, not only the scripture has to tell us about what we do not know, or about the knowledge which we cannot obtain through our five sense organs, it also has to tell us about the knowledge which we have with our five sense organs. Why? Because we are profoundly deceived. This is called illusion, a madcap. Here is a ghost. All that we see is a small pillar. If the disease becomes, as we say, matures, we have to take him to the psychologist. So, what does the scripture do? It tells us both about correct, right knowledge, both about what we cannot see, understand, and what also we see and think we understand. This about this world. To put it in simple words, every scripture must tell us about five things. What are those five things? This is called Artha Panchaka. What is the nature of the human being, each human being? What is the nature of God? What is the relationship between me and God? How to attain God? And what are the obstructions that prevent me from reaching God? And if I reach God, what benefits do I get? After all, you see, all of us are what you call utilitarians. That means, if I realize God, what do I get? If it is a child, do I get a gingerbread, ice cream? This is called Artha Panchaka. Or, the scriptures have to tell us about the goal of human life. Now, if the scripture or anybody or anything has to tell us about the goal of life, pre-knowledge is necessary. What is that? At supposing there is an apple seed. Where from does the apple seed come? From an apple tree. And once you put it in the ground, take care of it, what does it become? Only an apple tree yielding apple fruits. If this is not understood properly, you can put a neem seed and expect to get apple or mangoes, even better, Alfonso mangoes. Will you get? You won't get. But if the scripture knows correctly where from I have come, then it can tell us about the goal of life, my goal of life. What is the goal of the life of an apple seed? To become a mango? It can only become an apple tree and yield apple fruits because that is its nature. So we are unaware where from we have come. And therefore, how can we decide what is the goal of our life? That is what the scripture tells us. So what does it tell? we are already discussed, you know, we came from God. And where are we living? In God. And where do we go? To God. This process of coming down from God, that is called involution. The process of going back to God is called evolution. This is what we call, in ordinary words, Hindu or Sanskrit word, Srishti, Sthiti and Laya. Creation, sustenance and dissolution. So we go, dissolution means what? We go back to God. Now, Hinduism, some people claim, as very confusing. If you understand five words, then you understand all about Hinduism. Not merely words, a little bit of in knowledge about five words. You know what are those five words? Samsara or Maya. Very frequently used words. Devotees are very intelligent, you know. They understand very well. They come to me. Swamiji, we are in trouble. And I tell them, there is a way to get rid of your trouble. What is it? Take God's name. Swamiji, we are samsaris. Very detailed. they understand very well what is called samsara. Samsara, Maya have become very popular words. That is the first word. Then mukti. What is mukti? Getting out of this samsara, going back or knowing who we are, that is called mukti. This is the second word. Then all Hindus understand very well karma. Karma means what we are now, especially when we are suffering. Another word is dharma. You know, dharma. We understand. Though we may not practice it, but we want everyone else to practice it. So that is the fourth word. And the fifth word is Atman or Brahman. Or in popular words, Ishvara, Bhagavan, God. These are the five words. Samsara or Maya. Then Mukti, Karma, Dharma, Atman or Brahman. So these are the five words. So what do the scriptures tell us? As I mentioned, not only I, because this whole universe, of which I am a part, I come from God. Therefore, what is my nature? I am divine. Therefore, what is the goal of my life? To go up to God. The whole scripture deals with nothing else but this fact. It states, first, you have come from God. Therefore, you are divine. Second, the only goal of your life is to go back to God. And how can you go back to God? This is the way. This is called Tattva Purushartha Hita. In other simplified words, and I already had explained about this, now you will have to go back and find out what we have. So why does the scripture need to tell us? Because we forgot, as it were, about our true nature, and we are longing to reach to our true nature. There is always the longing is there. How is this longing? We want to be immortal. Nobody wants to die. No one wants to be ignorant. No one wants to be unhappy. Sat. We don't want to be asat. We want always to be sat. We don't want to be achit, jada. That is to say what Americans call dumb. Even a dumb person doesn't like to be called dumb. You see, that is the beauty of it. He may be dumb, but he doesn't want to be called. He says, even if I am dumb now, but in future I am not going to be dumb. And if we are having dukkha, dukkha nivritti, sukha prapti, dukkha nivritti, getting rid of misery, unhappiness and obtaining happiness. This is what all the scripture tells us. You are divine, therefore the goal is to attain the divinity, and there is a way to attain. And these are the ways, these are the obstructions. This is all the scriptures, any religion tells, especially Hindu scriptures. This is what Swami Vivekananda had summarized Vedanta. What did he say? Each soul is potentially divine. The goal of life is to manifest this divinity within by controlling nature, external and internal. And manifest this divinity either by work or worship or philosophy, or service by one, more, or all of these together, and be free. This is the whole of religion. Doctrines, dogmas, books, temples, churches, are all secondary details. That is what Swami Vivekananda had summarized. How does the scripture want to go about it? Now, if you study any scripture, squeeze the essence of the scripture, 1% of the scripture would be to tell us about our nature and why we should make that the goal of our life. And the rest of the 99% of the scripture, how to go about it. As somebody said so beautifully. Now, who is a genius? Who is a genius? A genius is one who has 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. So, this inspiration part is, you are divine, you have to reach the goal. 99 part is, struggle to attain that goal. So, this is what the scriptures tell us. Now, the most important teaching of this word is dharma. And what is dharma? And why, how many types of dharmas? And how many, for how many people? And in how many ways? This is a wonderful subject by itself. Unfortunately, there is not a single word equivalent to dharma in any other language except in Sanskrit. It goes by very many, many names, but I will come to that very shortly. Now, how does the scripture want to guide us? See, you are divine. Therefore, what should be our goal? To reach that divinity. But how to go about it? You can't jump. You say, now I am a stupid person, and next moment I want to be a God-realized soul. You cannot do that. It's a gradual process. So, this gradual process has been divided into 4 stages. These are called 4 supreme values. In Sanskrit, they are called Purusha-artha. Purusha, one word, artha is another word. Purusha means human being, not male. Why? Only a human being with self-consciousness, with complete awareness, can set about, think about and say, I would like to achieve this goal. That is why it is called Purusha Artha. It is called Artha. Artha means money. Artha means meaning. Here Artha means value. Value means it is invaluable. You cannot set a value to it. So what are those values? Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. These are the 4. Now, a value is that which enhances, makes a human being a better human being, makes anything a better thing. That is called a value. This is what you call quality, comes nearest to the meaning, this value. But it's not merely quality. This is going back to our own true nature. Expressing our true nature to the best of our ability, that is called a value. Among these values, there are 2 types of values. Therefore, there is only really 1 value, so to speak. I said 4, but really speaking, there is only 1 real value. So what are these 2 types of values? Instrumental values and intrinsic value. Instrumental value means that value which only acts as an instrument, and that means it is not for its own sake, but it is for the sake of something else. To give an example, your parents tell you that you go to school, college, have good education. You ask why? Then the answer would be from the parent that you will get a nice degree. Why? And you say you will get a good job. Why? Then you will get a good wife and you will be able to afford to give lot of, you know, get lot of dowry also. Education has, Indian education has a high value. It's all market, all boys are categorized. A doctor gets so much, an engineer gets so much, an IT engineer gets so much, etc. If I get a good wife, what happens to me? Then you will be happy. Why do you want to be happy? There is no answer to that. Up till that, there is an answer. Why do you want to get education? Why do you want to get a degree? Why do you want to get a job? Why do you want to get married? Or why don't you want to get married? Whatever be the case. Why do you want to be a monk? But the final answer would be, I want to be happy. There is no question Why do you want to be happy? So, do you see now what is called instrumental value? A value which is not for its own sake, but which is an instrument merely to lead one for something else, that is called an instrumental value. In that sense, everything in this world is only an instrumental value. But what is intrinsic value? That which is valued for its own sake. You cannot ask why, because that is our nature. So, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Among them, dharma, artha and kama, they are called instrumental values. And moksha, the fourth one, is called the only value, real value, which is the intrinsic value. So what is the role of the other things, like elementary school, like pre-university education, like college education, like university education? Gradually to lead a human being from a lower state to a higher state. That is all, but it is value because you cannot discard these values and try to reach the fourth stage. There is no way. We all of us have to go through these four values. And for that, the instruments also have got to be appropriate instruments. Instruments need instruments. What do I mean by that? You see, a telescope is a good instrument, isn't it? Wonderful instrument, if you want to see what is far away. But if my eyes are cataracted, what is the good of a telescope? So, I am also an instrument. So, this body is an instrument. This mind is an instrument. So, what is the value of this dharma, artha and kama? They make this body and mind the best instruments in the world for the attainment of mukti. Do you see, you'll study the life of Sri Ramakrishna and you will see there are so many devotees fortunate enough to obtain his grace, not only to be near him, but to obtain his grace. He said, yes, I will give you, bestow upon you my grace, but they couldn't retain. Why? Because there the instrument was not ready. Swami Vivekananda himself, he had to wait 5 years nearly before he was ready at Kasipur, and he said, Thakur, now you give me. It's not so easy. Hinduism, Hindu scriptures tell us that first of all, you will have to practice these four dharmas. Now, to be very brief, why so many dharmas? How to practice these four dharmas? These four supreme values are meant for every human being, not only for Hindus. They are meant for everybody. Now, all people are not same. So, the Hindu scripture has got to take into consideration, and it should be a mother, like a mother has different types of children. She has to bestow her love equally upon all and look after upon all equally. But the way she treats each child is dependent upon the status of the child. Therefore, Hindu scriptures have to divide human beings, all human beings, into roughly four categories. They are what we call nowadays caste system or varna. In the past it is called varna. Varna means simply a division dependent upon human beings' personality types. So here is a beautiful word. Do not say Hindu scriptures divided human beings into four different types of persons. You say Hindu scriptures have divided all human beings into four different personality types. Strangely, you know, greatest Western philosopher, Socrates, also divided human beings into four categories. Philosopher, instead of saying Brahmana, he said philosopher, the warrior, and the trader, and everybody else. Psychologists divide also people into different personalities. You know the most famous category of division, the extrovert and the introvert. Then there are, this is only simplest type of division. Then there are divisions, psychosomatic. This psychosomatic means the body and mind, they are interrelated. What happens to the body affects the mind. What happens to the mind, it affects the body. So some are body oriented, some are prana oriented, some are idea oriented. So different types of is, even if you observe each one of you at different times, you will have a different personality. For example, you know, just before Aratrikam, you will be a spiritual personality. But just before 12 o'clock, 12:30 in the noon, you will be a completely different personality. But in a sense, the different persons by whole life are fall into different types of categories. So Hinduism has also taken how to divide these human beings. It has taken two criteria, guna and karma, quality and the type of action that they do. And these also, again, this quality and action depend upon three gunas, sattva guna, rajo guna and tamo guna. Then every human being has got three bodies, as you know well, you know, the physical body, the mind and a spiritual part of the body. Three, physical, mental and spiritual. So we also have to find out which person has got more dominant personality. Some are spiritual, so for them different type. Some are what is called mentally very alert, very physically very strong. They are a different type of personality. Some are spiritually dull, mentally even more dull, physically even still more dull. These are called the fourth category, Shudra they call it. Don't take it literally in that sense. What is telling? Roughly, guna and karma divided. So, the scripture is like a mother. It has to guide every individual from where that individual is, slowly, gradually to the highest. Just to give an example. But suppose a person is a child. You will have to guide that child so that he will grow into an adolescent, a young man and a responsible young householder, like that. Suppose a person is tamasic. Not only one individual, a whole nation can be tamasic. India itself, before Swami Vivekananda came, everybody was thinking, we are the greatest spiritual beings on earth. Until Swami Vivekananda said that you are the greatest tamasic people on earth. That is why he goaded people into the next stage. How can a tamasic person attain to spiritual, jumped into spiritual stage? All of a sudden, he has to go through this rajasic. He has to get married, he has to suffer, then his renunciation will come. So a student, you see, he learns a lot of things about Atman, Brahman and all those things. Yes, but how will he jump to Brahman? He has to get married, he has to go through varied experience, I will put it in a milder way. And then after many, many lives, he gets the experience that it is not necessary for me to marry. And then he renounces the world. It takes many lives. That is why, according to Hindu belief, before we turn to spiritual life, do you know how many births we have to go through? 94 crores. No, this is not, don't take it literally. It means more. Because we have to go through this stage. That is called evolution. What is evolution? Gradually preparing the body and mind. These always remember. We have only two instruments. What are those? Body and mind. This gradually preparing this body, mind, until they are fit instruments to turn ourselves towards God. Otherwise, there will be terrible downfall and reaction and all those things will be there. This is why people are divided into four castes or four varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. Unfortunately, what happened was, what was a division which was flexible, dependent upon guna and karma, quality, nature and the type of work, it degenerated into purely a matter of birth. Which, however stupid, a Brahmin's child will always be a Brahmin. However bright, wonderful, a fourth caste child will always be fourth caste, unfortunately. But now, after Sri Ramakrishna's birth, things are slowly changing. Okay, how many types of dharmas are there, therefore? There are many. primarily dharmas. Dharma means according to our, we are individuals, we are members of the family, and we are members of the society. Therefore, there is an individual dharma. There is a what is called family dharma. There is what is called a societal dharma. Before we go further, we have to understand what is the source of these divisions. Because what I am going to discuss about dharma, it is elaborated in a particular type of scriptures. These are called dharma shastras. Most of the Hindus did not hear the word dharma shastra. But we are still influenced, Hindu society is still influenced by one particularly great author. He was called as Manu Dharma Shastra, Manu Smriti it is also called. The word Manu is a wonderful Sanskrit word. From there only came this. What is Manu? Manu means, the word came from Man. Man means to think. So, human being has the ability to think rationally, come to a clear conclusion. And anybody who is not capable of thinking cannot be called a human being. So, Manu, from Manu came the word Manava. You understand Manava? Manava means human. So, Manu Dharma Shastra is also alternatively called Manava Dharma Shastra. A code of guidance, conduct or guidance for the entire human being, all human beings, wherever they are. In this, there are specific and there are general. General is meant for everybody, whether you are a Christian or you are Hindu or Buddhist, doesn't matter. Specific is, that is particularly if you are a Hindu, then you have to follow certain Hindu ways like bowing to Narayana or Krishna or Saraswati, etc. Specific to certain Hindu forms. But in general, this Manava Dharma means it applies to the whole of the human beings. So the sources. Source means we must have a source. One of the difficulties, human beings, they want authority. Even the fellows who fight against authority, who want to disregard authority, their authority is their gang leader. They have their own leaders. Unless their leaders tell, they won't do anything. So, what are the sources? The source of dharma is ultimately Vedas. As I said, you know, only Veda. And only Veda can be the source of dharma, nothing else. Why? I have already told you that we don't know where from we have come. So, you see, what is the dharma of an apple seed? To be a good apple, to grow into a good apple tree. But if it doesn't know that it is an apple, it tries to grow like a mango. There is a Hitopadesha, they say, you know, that like Aesop's Fables, there is a book in this. Panchatantra is there, Hitopadesha is there, Balamitra is there. There are various books of wisdom for children in the form of stories. So there is a story. There was a washerman and he had a donkey. You know, washermen use the donkeys for making their dirty cloths, bringing the washed cloths. And if it doesn't move properly, he goes on beating it. And he also has a dog, had a dog. So one day, a donkey started thinking, it is very unfair. I'll do the whole donkey's work whole day. But this wretched dog doesn't do anything. Simply sits, whole day it sleeps. And the night, you know, it goes about. And it just barks a little bit of time. And the master is so fond, he gives special food to the dog. And he only gives the worst food and rain or whatever, I have to stay outside, this dog goes inside. Now, what is the, why does my master love the dog? What is so special about the dog? Then it thought about and came to the wonderful conclusion. Because he barks, so he is loved. So it decided, now I will, you know, throw this dog out. I will bark whole night. And it started barking. And the poor washerman wanted to sleep. And this was disturbing him. So he came out with a big stick and belabored it so hard until it stopped barking. So the idea is that unless we know what is our nature, and in accordance with our nature, we have to grow. And that is what the scripture has got to tell us. Without the scripture, we will not know what is our dharma. As I mentioned, you know, it is only the scripture which tells us that we came from God. Therefore, what is our goal? To go back to, it is our goal because, not because the scripture is telling. The scripture is only telling us what we would have done otherwise with great difficulty. Scripture is like a map. It tells you, oh, you want to go there. Okay, this is the best way to go there. Sri Ramakrishna's words. Scriptures are like a good scripture is like a good map. So this is why this source is called Veda. Vedas, as we mentioned, four Vedas are there, but there are certain ways of understanding the Vedas. And to understand the Vedas properly, there are six types of scripture, what is called auxiliary scriptures called Vedangas. Anga means limb. Vedangas means limbs of Vedas. They are not Vedas themselves. They are aids to understand a scripture properly, like dictionaries, you know. So what is this? What does this word mean? It is a new word. What does this word mean? Like a jivoki. Have you heard the word jivoki? Jivoki? You never heard. You know, in a hospital ward, they keep a chart by the side of the patients. They write what disease, when he was admitted, what disease was diagnosed, what medication is being given, what is the present condition, temperature, blood pressure, etc., etc. So one junior, new doctor has come. And he was asked by his senior, go and have a look. So he went by the bedside of one patient. He said, this fellow suffers from disease GOK. He never heard about this word. So he ran because it's a new disease. What does GOK mean? So the fellow said, don't tell anybody. God only knows. So a word comes, you come across a word. How will you understand it? So Vedas, it's an evolution of several thousands, hundreds of centuries. Therefore, we don't know certain words because, you know, language changes. How wonderfully language changes. When I was in UK 2 years back, after hearing my talk, somebody came and complimented me. You are wicked. I was taken aback. After hearing such fine talk, he says, you are wicked. Then someone explained to me, it is a big compliment. Wicked means it's wonderful. So to understand Vedic words properly, in its proper context, these limbs have come. So these are the limbs, Vedanga, six they are called. Siksha, correct pronunciation of Vedic texts. Kalpa Sutras, the correct performance of rituals, etc. Vyakarana, study of grammar. Nirukta, etymology of Vedic words. Chandas, prosody. Jyotish, astrology. Because our Vedas believed that astrology is necessary to perform certain actions. For we all follow that. When do you celebrate Sri Ramakrishna's birthday? On the day, on the tithi, Ramakrishna. When do you observe Ekadashi? On Ekadashi day. So when do you observe Ekadashi? I don't know, Swami. This is Anjyotisha, means the movements from astronomy came astrology. This day is good. So to determine which day is good for a particular type of ritual, so that it can yield us the better value, better result, that is astrology is very nice. Not in the stupid sense. Our ancestors believed in astrology. Sri Ramakrishna's father was a great astrologer himself. Not only he, Ram Kumar, Rameshwar, Sri Ramakrishna himself, he predicted, of course, from his yogic powers, not studying astrology or any such things. Among them, there is these Vedangas. There is one Vedanga. It is called Kalpa Sutra. Sutra means aphoristic literature. Very short sentence. Yoga Chitta Vritti Nirodhaha. Yoga is the suppression of all mental modifications, etc. But elaboration should come from the teacher. These work like mnemonic things. It's called Sutra literature, Kalpa Sutras. Later on, these Kalpa Sutras have been subdivided into three parts. These are called Shrauta Sutras, then Grihya Sutras, and Dharma Sutras. So Shrauta Sutras are how to correctly perform a ritual as mentioned in the Vedas, that is, they deal with it. We do not need to worry about it. Then the second is Grihya Sutras, which are very important. Grihya Sutra means that literature, which Griha means what? House. Grihya means what? What a householder should do. what rituals he should perform, how he should fix his goals of life, how he should keep his mind in a healthy condition, etc., etc. These are called Grihya Sutras. Elaboration of this Grihya Sutras is called Dharma Sutras. There was a particular type of literature called Dharma Sutra in the earlier days. These Dharma Sutras, being aphoristic literature, was very difficult. Later on, several people delved deep into them and understood thoroughly and made them elaborate. There were many, many such teachers. Of those teachers, Manu Dharma Shastra, one great soul called Manu, his Dharma Shastra is supposed to be the greatest, most elaborate guide even till today. So these Dharma Sutras, which is a short form of literature, later on became Dharma Shastra, scriptures, elaboration of scriptures. So Manu Dharma Shastra is most important of these Dharma Shastras. So what do they do? Codes of conduct, rights, law, etc. Especially these Dharma Sutras deal with certain important aspects. The first is the moral life, conduct, code of conduct. The second is law. Law means, you know, the dispute, ever there are two human beings, there would be disputes. You heard the English saying, where there is a will, there is a way. No, there is American version of it. Where there is a will, there is a relative. So wherever there are two human beings, there will be disputes. Now, nicely, properly, according to, you know, dharma, one should be bring about accord, harmony between them. It could be between husband and wife, between parents and children, between neighbors, between friends. So elaborately to deal with these things, to whom the property belongs, and how, if at all somebody steals or does something, how he should be punished, how he should be saved, etc. That is one part of these Dharma Shastras. That is called part of the Dharma Shastra. This Hindu law in India, even today, is both what is called a secular law, and there is also a Hindu law. Yes, there is a Sharia law for Muslims, you know. Wherever they live, there is a Sharia law. Another meaning of dharma is duty. According to our station in life, according to our job we are doing, according to the situation we are in, there is what is called a particular duty we have got to do it. Like this, there are elaborate meaning. Then another meaning is dharma means achara. Achara means what? Tradition. Follow the tradition. Sometimes the traditions have no value, excepting they develop our adherence, faith, willpower. You know, for example, a simple example to give you, that when you have to do worship of any deity, then the deity must face either the east or the north. Now, excepting for in England, you have a house, and where the room, the door through which you enter into the shrine room, is what is called facing the west. Then where will you put Sri Ramakrishna's photo? There is no way for you. According to the room, you have to adjust. Otherwise, you will have to put on the way to door every time you cross Sri Ramakrishna. That should not happen. The thing is, where it is possible, one should follow the tradition. There is a tradition. A Swami, an elderly person, should be saluted. What is the benefit of it? Of course, there are definitely benefits. You know, if you do five times before lunch, you will get more hungry if you are not hungry in the case. It has its own value. But it's a tradition because it develops into reverence for everything. So reverence means ultimately reaches only God. So even Sri Ramakrishna, it is said in this age, conquered the world, you know, by humility. His pranam is only humility. He is not saluting anyone, he is saluting the divine Lord, recognizing the divinity within each one. We may not recognize, but he was recognizing. There are these Dharma Shastras, elaborate texts on these Dharma Sutras. Of this, Manu Dharma Shastra or Manav Dharma Shastra or Manu Smriti is most famous. Now, the word Dharma is elusive. If you want to know in short, what is Dharma? Is there any way for us to understand? Yes, I will tell you how you can understand. that which promotes our health, our wealth, our mind becomes pleasing. We evolve as a higher being, or ultimately gives us happiness both in this world, in the other world, both short-time happiness and also long-term happiness, and ultimately takes us to God, that is Dharma. Swami Vivekananda has given a beautiful definition. Dharma is that act which takes you towards God, or to put it another way, which unfolds your own divinity. Adharma is just the opposite, whichever contracts, makes us forget our divinity, makes us unhappy. And unhappiness comes in so many ways, health, wealth, and external circumstances, internal circumstances, etc., etc. So Hindus believe in the law of karma. But this law of karma is the mean simply, we are what we are because of what we have done. And we would be what we would be in the future depending upon what we do now. Then karma is converted into dharma. Do and convert your karma into such type of action that will always conduce you to your welfare right now and also later, in this life, in the other world also. That is the shortest description of what is called dharma. So the term dharma is untranslatable in that it has no direct semantic equivalents in any Western language which convey the resonance of associations expressed by the term. It has been variously translated as duty, religion, justice, law, ethics, religious merit, principle, right, and ultimately, more particularly, dharma is the performance of Vedic ritual. Dharma is the performance of Vedic ritual. In case you are wondering, but we don't know what is Vedic ritual, do not worry. If you are a devotee of Sri Ramakrishna, then what is your dharma? Performance of Sri Ramakrishna, right. Sri Ramakrishna, what is Sri Ramakrishna's right? That you get his pleasure. Whatever pleases Sri Ramakrishna is the dharma of Sri Ramakrishna's devotee. Whatever displeases Sri Ramakrishna is the adharma of a devotee. So what should a devotee of Ramakrishna do? He should try to avoid the displeasure of Ramakrishna and get the pleasure of Ramakrishna. Simple as that. Again, don't think, you know, Ramakrishna is not a human being. If you bring rasagollas, Kesidas rasagollas, he will be pleased. But if you buy roadside rasagollas, he will not be pleased. No. He will be pleased with your, not what you bring, but what you are. And strangely, Eric Fromm, one of my most favorite socio-psychologists, he tells that, you know, he has written a big book on this subject. To be or to have. You know, how do we measure a person? By what the person has. He is a doctor, he has so much money, he is beautiful, he has got these qualities, etc., etc., talents, etc., successful executive, etc. He says, no, that is absolutely useless. They may bring pleasure for others, but they won't bring pleasure certainly. The person's happiness totally depends upon not what he has, but what he is. Surprisingly, the Sanskrit word for health, do you know what it is? Swasthya. We call it swasthya. What does swasthya mean? One who is himself is healthy. One who is not himself, the English word, dis-ease. What is disease? Dis-ease. So a person who is a child is a child, then he is healthy. A old man behaves like a child, then he is diseased. Or a young person behaves like an old person. There was a film in Extraordinary People, one 10 years old girl, how she is teaching, you know. She is on the television, she is teaching people. I was surprised. Very talented. Anyway, the point is exceptional cases. They are called child geniuses, precocious people. Now, what I am trying to tell is that dharma is that which promotes our welfare now and hereafter in every way. That which makes us a better person, that is called dharma. That which makes us worse persons is adharma. Now the word dharma is most important used in Hinduism applied to religion. We call it Hindu Dharma. So who is a good Hindu? Not who mechanically follows certain things. He must get the result. He must become a better person. Such a person is a good Hindu. Otherwise, he may be, you know, there are so many people who use their sacred thread for scratching their backs. It's very useful in India, you know, a lot of mosquitoes and others will be there. So they use this sacred thread. I also would have done the same thing under those circumstances. But the point is, the sacred thread's purpose is to remind us what we ought to be. That is called real dharma. Why the scripture should tell us about dharma? You know, there was a great person, Duryodhana, and he was lying, his thigh is broken in the battlefield. And somebody went to him and asked him, see, you are a very wise man, intelligent person. You knew that this is going to be the result of what you have done, not that you did all these things in ignorance, knowing fully well you did. And why did you do that? Then you know what he said. Most wonderful reply, which applies to all of us. Janami dharmam nachame pravruttihi. Janami adharmam nachame nivruttihi. I know what is right, what is dharma. Absolutely no desire to do it. I know what is not dharma, what is adharma. I have no willpower to keep myself away from it. This is our peculiar condition. We are all always, we know so many good things. But unfortunately, we can't behave other than what we are behaving right now, knowing fully well. This is the worst tragedy in human life. This is what Saint Paul has expressed. He said, the things I know I do not do. And the things I should not do, I cannot refrain myself. This is the tragedy of life. So how to know what is the way? There are certain beautiful hints given. This is the secret of dharma is well hidden in a cave. Means it is not so easy. This is not very relevant to our present topic, but I will bring you to your notice. You know, Draupadi was ordered to be disrobed in the Kaurava Sabha court. Then she said, before you do this, I wanted to ask Bhishma and others. She put a very wonderful question. He said, I became yours. How did I become yours? I am the wife of Pandavas. He said, you know, he lost you in this gambling business. Then she asked Bhishma and others, did he lose himself first and then lost me? Or did he lose me first and then lost himself? Everybody kept their heads bent because she was the last one. If a man had lost himself, what right has he got to lose the others, a human being and others? Dharma is so difficult. So what is the way? The scripture also tells there is a way. Ena patha mahapurushaha gataha. That path by which great souls have trodden, that is dharma. Because it is so difficult to understand what is dharma. Sometimes you may have to do something which doesn't look like a good deed to do at all. Supposing, you know, there is one person, maybe a child. He has got AK-47 in his hands and he is shooting everybody. Now, should you shoot the child to stop or not? On the one side, he is a child, he doesn't know what he is doing, but what he is doing is very harmful to many people. Now, really to decide what you should do, what you should not do, it takes a lot of, you know, think, but there is no easy way to tell. That's why we have to follow the footsteps of the great people. Who is the person whose footsteps we have to follow? Christians should follow in the footsteps of Christ. The devotees of Sri Ramakrishna should follow the footsteps of Sri Ramakrishna. The devotees of Holy Mother should follow the footsteps of Holy Mother. I will just briefly discuss before I elaborate what is dharma. Suppose somebody is Holy Mother's devotee and he says, Mother, I am your child. A child should have what is called the nature of the mother. A child should be inheriting the nature of the mother. So if we are the children of Holy Mother, then we should also follow the footsteps of the Holy Mother so that we can claim to be the real children of Holy Mother. I am just giving you a brief example. One Swami has written a beautiful article on this. I am just extracting the important points in that. There is a beautiful verse in praise of her. Pavitram charitam yasyah, pavitram jivanam tatha, pavitrata swarupinye tasyai kurmo namo namah. Salutations to that mother whose conduct, whose life, whose whole personality, who is the very embodiment of purity itself. Here purity is equated to dharma. If we want to be following the footsteps, because we don't know what is real, dharma means that code of action which will give us immediate happiness as well as long-term happiness, happiness here and also everywhere. What should we do? Here are 10 things. First thing, reverence for all things. Second, same-sightedness. Third, compassion and concern for all. Fourth, no fault finding. Fifth, mercy and forgiveness. Sixth, unconditional love. Seventh, patience and forbearance. Eighth, intense activity. Ninth, service of all as worship. 10, blame none for one's suffering. What beautiful analysis of Holy Mother. This is the embodiment of Holy Mother. These 10, there are many other qualities, but these 10 are the most important qualities of which Holy Mother's embodiment is personified. This is what is meant by purity, right? How did she get all these qualities? By sitting in an easy chair? Every action of hers reflects, expresses these 10 qualities, right? That is called dharma. If we also follow in her footsteps, then we also slowly, little by little, maybe it will take a long time, maybe we will never reach her perfection. It doesn't matter. It is not how much we attained these qualities that is important. What's important? How much sincerely we attempt to do that. To make this point clear, I will have to give an example from Sri Ramakrishna's gospel. He says, you know, somebody is very sincerely longing to go to Puri Jagannath. But unfortunately, he did not know the way. So he was going in the opposite direction. Instead of going to the south, he was going towards the north. But on the way, some people were, my good man, where are you going? Oh, I want to visit Lord Jagannath. Oh, no, no, this is not the way. You please go to the right. So what is meant is, very soon, this person will be guided towards his destination because not what he is doing, but how sincerely he is doing. This is one. The second teaching is, if any man takes one step towards me, I will take 10 steps towards him. That means what? Supposing nobody was there to guide this man. Imaginary scene. He is starting going north. Do you know what the God will do? He will shift the whole of Puri Jagannath and place it on his way. So that after going few steps, what will he find? Puri Jagannath. In case you are wondering, this is my creation. You know, there was a great soul, a fourth class man, is Udipi. In South India, there is a place called Udipi. In Udipi, there is a temple, Sri Krishna's temple. Madhva Sampradaya people worship there. The deity was facing, you know, the normal way. There was a fourth caste man and he was not allowed to see. So he was sitting outside and weeping. Lord, am I to be deprived of your darshan just because I am a fourth caste? You know what the Lord did? That simply, where the devotee, the direction in which the devotee was sitting, the whole wall broke down and the God, his whole image turned towards him. And he told him, now see me to your heart's content. And the priests were forced now to construct their a door so that even today the Lord is facing that direction, not in the original direction. So this is the truth. God will always help us if we are only sincere. The point is, we can only attempt to do a little bit according to our energy, but we can do it sincerely. If we do that, then it doesn't matter whether we have gone one step or 100 steps. God's compassion will envelop us because He is everywhere. God is not a destination. He is 100 miles away. Where is God? He is nowhere. He is nowhere means what? He is now here. He is here. So He will see our heart. Immediately He will immediately he will reveal himself to us. Only thing is, don't think God is cruel, is making you taking on you. No, it is our problem. If we are wanting to follow the footsteps of Holy Mother, we will have to think about these 10 qualities, meditate upon them, see whether every action of ours is in accordance with this or not. Sincerely, we should try. Then very soon, Mother's grace will make us completely perfect. This is the meaning of Dharma, that path by which great people have travelled, and that is our way. So there are a few other points which I would like to speak in my next week. Next class will be there.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.